Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for every person under the sound of my voice right now. We thank you for your anointing on their life, your call, your hand, your purpose, design, and assignment for their life in the routine of life and in the completion of it. And Father, wherever they're at, I thank you that you are more than enough. Help us to turn our focus away from the distractions of life, the pains and struggles that would try to hold us back. Help us to learn how to redirect ourselves to you and to set our focus on you in such a way that we cannot, will not be distracted. And I thank you, Father God, for great is the days ahead. I just speak that prophetically over their life. Great is the days ahead. Brightness is not behind, it's ahead. And I thank you that our path, our life, our ministry, our church, our families, our future is getting better and brighter and stronger every day in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for that. We speak that in our life. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And amen. Praise God. We've been doing this study on the 23rd Psalm. Very popular. I love this verse we're going to look at today. Let's go ahead and throw it on the screen if we can. And let me read it to you. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. This is a cool verse. I like this verse. This is one of my favorite parts of this chapter. A lot of people, we know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. This verse kind of helps us figure out how that works. Because some of us have been saying, God, you're my shepherd, I shall not want. And then we walk away and say, no, I'm still wanting. The Lord is my shepherd. One translation says, I have everything I need. And we won't look at our checkbook or look over areas of our lives and say, no, I'm still needing some stuff. This verse kind of is the hidden key to enable the other verse to come true. God will work in so many different ways, and one way is he gives you a broad stroke picture. Many of you, have God shown you stuff about who you are or where you're going in life? Have you ever had God show you something, but then it didn't happen overnight? We see that in David's life. You're anointed to be king. Now go watch the sheep. Abraham, I'm going to make you father of multitude. Okay, God, when? It's going to happen. Okay, God, when? And we get caught up on the winds, and Lord, it's been taken way too long. You told me you were going to do it 10 minutes ago. And we got to understand how the kingdom works. That's why Jesus said, your Father knows that you have need of all these things. Your Father, your Heavenly Father is so good, he knows everything you need. Now, I'm not talking about being greedy. Greed never is satisfied. Greed is never satisfied. See, that's what Israel was doing. Every time God met their need, they went to another thing of what they wanted. They never gave him thanks. They never appreciated what he did. It was always, God, well, if you did that, what about this? And greed is wanting what doesn't belong to you. We're talking about your Heavenly Father, all that he has purchased through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. If it belongs to you, then don't you want it? Amen. Amen. And Jesus said, your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things, just like the world does. But don't do it the way they do it. Seek first. Man, we've heard that. And a lot of times, I think it's been mispreached, because a lot of people, seek first the kingdom of God. Let's take up an offering. Did I just say that? I didn't. Maybe I need another cup of coffee. Sometimes we can, and I'm saying giving is a part of the whole equation, but sometimes we miss out on the big picture, because what it's really saying is figure out how the king does stuff. Make a priority how the king, God, through his word, how the king wants things done. Seek first the kingdom. That's the how the king does stuff. Kingdom. How the king operates. Seek, make a priority how the king operates and what he wants done. See, you can know what to do, but you don't know when to do it. That takes wisdom. Right. Have you ever been in a situation that I got so many options, I don't know which one to pick? That's what you need, wisdom, not knowledge and wisdom. That's why it's important. Seek how the king, your Heavenly Father, wants things done, when he wants it done. Make that a priority. Then all these things will be added to you. See, we ask for God for stuff, and we don't understand that Jesus already said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask. See, there's another piece of the puzzle. We just don't take one verse out of the Bible and build a whole world on that one verse. You need to understand the context. Have you ever had someone tell you what somebody said and you get so offended until you find out it was taken out of context? Out of context, or if you don't get the big picture, you don't see clearly. See, but when you get more, seek first. If you abide in me, the words abide in you, then you shall ask. So you don't go to prayer to your Heavenly Father asking until you already know what He's promised. That'll help you out. Well, Lord, I need you to heal me. Do you got a promise? What's the reference? Oh, somewhere in that Bible, I know He says He'll heal me. Then you're not ready to pray. I'm messing with you. But don't you want to know how to get your prayers answered? Because it's not for God's benefit, it's for your benefit to be in faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And if you don't know what the Word says and you haven't been putting it into your heart and your life, then it can't produce faith. It's like if you don't plant seed in the ground, don't grab a basket to go pick the fruit off the tree. Because there's no fruit. There's no tree. Because there's no seed. So when we understand how the King works, then we can operate that. So the first verse is, hey, I'm your shepherd. You don't have to need anything. Well, praise God. Now I want it to apply in my life. Because I don't want us to be a church that we celebrate the idea of something but don't live the idea. Too many Christians, they don't believe in God. Well, it's because they've just heard about what He can do, but they've never seen what He can do. Paul said it this way, I came not only just preaching, but I came with power so that your faith would be in the power of God and not the influence of ideas. Some people's, their whole faith is based on ideas. And if your faith is based on ideas, then you just need somebody who can argue or articulate or can discuss with you better than you and convince you, well, maybe I'm not right. But when your faith is not only in the truth of God's word, but in the power of God, then all of a sudden, what do you say to the person who says, I don't understand, I can't answer all the questions, but one thing I know, once I was blind, now I see. Your faith is not only in just ideas, it's in the power, the demonstration. It's one thing to say, oh, God is good, but it's another thing for your neighbors to see the goodness of God in your life. And God used your life as a billboard to demonstrate that even today, in this day and age, with all the stuff around, He can do the impossible. He can bring a miracle. He can bless you. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I'm telling you, I'm going to fly right in the face of all that religion has force-fed us incorrectly to give you the truth. I'm not into religion. That's man getting involved in what God's trying to do. I believe in a real relationship with Jesus, and I believe God said it, He meant it, and if He promised it, it's yours. For the promises of God are yea and amen to those who believe. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither is entered the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for those who love Him. He's a good God. He's a good God. He's not a stingy God. He's not a just get by God. He's not just enough God. And if that's how you see God, maybe that's the first step to get you to see who He is. Because if you're serving a just dangle it but never give it, then you don't understand the God you serve. And this has to be more than celebrate on Sunday. It should be where you can take it to the bank on Friday, live it on Monday, share it on Tuesday, give it away on Wednesday. He called you healed, you're healed. If He calls you blessed, let's get blessed. If He calls you to be the head and not the tail, let's do it. Let's rise to the position of what He called you to be. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else, but arising, arise, shine, for your light has come, Isaiah 53 says, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Hallelujah. Woo, you 8:30 group, sit on down. You're getting too excited or too early. Hallelujah. Man, that came out of my spirit. To rise to the calling or position that He has called you to be in accordance with His word. That's what we want. Notice this verse. You have prepared a table. You have prepared a table. Now, I want you to notice, you could literally say it this way. He has already prepared a table. Hebrews 4 talks about that. Study out Hebrews. Talks about God is already in rest. And so even with Israel on the way to the promised land, he has already prepared the promised land, the place of it. But they did not enter because of unbelief. And because they did not have faith or did not believe, therefore he wouldn't let them enter. Even though it was already prepared. Oh God, help me. If there's stuff you have for me that my lack of believing does not let me in, Lord, show me. Open my eyes to see it so that I can enter all that you have for me. Why go hungry when there's a table prepared for you? Why go thirsty when there's a table prepared for you? Why live hurting when there's a table prepared for you? He's a good God. He takes care of all your needs. We look so many times to the east and to the west and to everybody and everything, and we forget to look to the north, look to heaven, look to God. You have prepared a table before me in the presence. Oh, I like this. In the presence of my enemies. Let me help you out. I like to say it this way. You don't need everybody to like you to get ahead. You don't need to climb the corporate ladder like everybody else does. You don't need everybody to vote for you to get in. You don't need everybody to agree with you to get the blessing and protection and favor and all that your Heavenly Father. He has prepared the table. Notice in the presence. God doesn't even need to make your enemies leave the room to bless you. He's inviting them all in. Come on in. Come on in. You're getting nervous saying, oh God, why are these people around me? Help me. He said, come on in. Come in. Because I want them to see what I can do even when they're there. God's going to do something in your life. I speak in you. He's going to do something in your life in the name of Jesus. That no backbiter, no gossiper, no envy, no hatred, no animosity can stop, can hinder, or slow down in the name of Jesus. God said, come on, I want them to see. I don't need them out of here. I want them to see. But I'm telling you, this dropped in my heart this week. I believe that this is just not people. When you study out the Hebrew, you'll see it references, you could say it this way, even in the presence of all opposition, opposing people, opposing forces, opposing ideas, opposing demons, opposing systems, opposing culture, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what is the opposition to keep you from what God has for you at the table. I'm telling you, if you understand to look to your Heavenly Father and set your focus on God, that you'll see that even when there's opposition to try to keep you out, take you down, keep you back, that even you can feel the winds blowing against you. I feel like I'm climbing uphill, wind against me, people pulling on me. Oh God, will I make it? And God, through his word, says, yes, even in the midst of all opposition, I have a table prepared for you. Praise God for networks. Praise God for people to pat you on the back. Praise God for encouraging people. But even if they all talk against you, there's someone who's for you. And when the greater is for you, when he's for you, the greater's for you. And when the greater is for you, it don't matter who's against you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. 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 Right where you're at, when they're all around, when they're talking about you, when they're struggling to take you out and to keep it from you, and you, the devil's whispering, oh, because of them, you'll never get that raise, you'll never get that job, you'll never get ahead. Oh, that person, they have too much power, they have too much influence. Let me tell you about another group of people. Hallelujah. 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 Called Israel on their way to the promised land. On their way. Have you ever noticed that the Bible says that we inherit the promises of God through faith and patience? We don't like the patience. So we don't like the patience. Psalm 78. Look at this verse. They spoke against God and they said, Can God really spread a table in the wilderness? Can God really spread a table in the... So what they did, they looked around and they saw their surroundings. They saw their temporary, you might say. They saw their momentary spot, you might say. They saw all the opposition against God. And they said, can God really spread a table in the wilderness? It's like saying, can God really be more strong than what I see? Can God really be greater than my opposition? What's your wilderness today? What's the reasoning the devil has been whispering into your ear and into your heart so long that you begin to believe that you'll never get ahead, that you'll never have more than enough, that you'll never be healed, that your marriage will never be better, that you'll never have children, that you'll never get married, that you'll never. What's the wilderness in your life? What is in the here and now that the devil is using against you to convince you that the God of eternity, the all-sufficient one, the all-powerful, cannot bring a change in the midst of that wilderness? Let me tell you, he can do anything. With God, all things are possible. If he can send his son through a virgin birth in a virgin womb and let him die on the cross and on the third day raise him up again, what do you think that he cannot do for you? If he can resurrect a Lazarus 4 days in the tomb and even told the sisters, didn't I tell you, if you only believe, you will see. What is in your wilderness that's too big for God? What is too big for God in your life? What is too big in your... Oh, well, that sounds good, Pastor, and that makes me feel better, but come on, we got to get to the real world, in the real world. See, that's your problem. You've been so inundated with the temporary, and the Bible says not to focus on the temporary, but the eternal. Temporary means those things which are subject to change. Some of you have brought judgment in your own life, and judgment doesn't mean you just evaluate something. Judgment means you evaluate it and you brought finalization, because when a judge hits a gavel and says you're guilty, then there's no discussion. It's been finalized. It's a condemning sentence. That's why Romans says there's no, therefore now, no condemning sentence. I'm telling you, when the devil says you'll never make it, that's his opinion, and that might be what it looks like in the temporary, but the temporary is about to change. For you. The temporary is about to change for you. The temporary is about to change. It is subject to change. Woo! They spoke against and said, can God really spread the table in the wilderness? That made God mad. That make anybody mad. Do you think God's strong enough to do this? Well, I don't know. You're lucky he don't reach down and back slap you. Now, you have to admit, that would be cool. People stand in church and fly against the wall. I don't know what they said to God, but I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to move right over here. Wouldn't that be cool? Big old hand. Is he going to ride or is he going to smack? Some of us need to be smacked upside the head sometimes, you think. Get a little sense in our head. So we start believing what the world... And again, what you feed grows. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. What you feed grows. What you starve weakens. So if we spend all... Every waking moment and minute focusing on what the temporary says and no minutes in what the eternal says, don't expect to have a strong faith. Don't, I mean, it's not that you're a bad person. This is for anybody. You take any Christian, you take the strongest Christian on the planet that is alive right now, and you separate them from spending time in God's presence, and you separate them from the Word of God. In time, carnality will strengthen. Spiritual side will weaken, and they will become where they came out of, not where they're going. There's no special favors. There is no exceptions. There's no, they're anointed. They don't have to worry about it. Yeah, they do. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the glory may be of God. You never get so anointed that you stop needing Jesus. Let me just help you out. You never get so anointed that you stop needing to spend time in the Word and prayer. We deal with this flesh. Even Paul did it. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, have revelation that we're still trying to figure out and get revelation on, and saw even heaven. And yet even he said, I got to deal with the carnality side of my flesh. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean you live in sin. And one person said, well, I'm a sinner every day. You're a sinner. I said, wait. No, that's not what the Bible says. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. See, religion will tell you that you're a sinner every day. No, the Bible says you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Say, I'm righteous because of Jesus. Some of you don't even like to say it. It just feels funny on your tongue. You're like, it leaves a funny taste. It's because we allow ourselves to be so fed with wrong junk. I told a story, I'll share again, years ago when I was 19 years old, just about 2-3 years ago. I was at work. What are you laughing at? I was working on my parents' pool, and I opened up chlorine. And when I opened it, I did it correct, but the heat had created such a tension combustion in there that when I opened it, it was like a hot cloud just hit me. And just kind of, I just found myself in this heat, and my lungs started to burn. And I went up into the house, and I'm trying to catch my breath, and I'm gagging, and I'm spitting, and my older sister and my mom were at the table, and they're like, what are you doing? And I'm leaning over the sink. You okay? No, I'm leaning over the sink, spitting, gagging, and trying to stay alive. God bless you for understanding. Well, maybe we should call poison control. And poison control said, you need to get him to the hospital. We walked in the hospital, emergency room. Praise God for doctors. Hallelujah. You doctors aren't bad. You got to operate at your level of faith. I believe in healing, but you got to operate your level of faith at the moment. Here I'm 19, and so we're going in. And, you know, typically you go even into the emergency room. I mean, God love hospitals. They're busy. You could have your right arm in a bag. Please take this form and sign 20 of them. That's my signing arm right there. It's in a bag. No, I'm joking. You usually have to wait, don't you? Blood's coming out everywhere. Please take a seat. We'll be with you. At least they're calm about it. I mean, I'm having fun with you. And so I walk into the house in the emergency room, and they said, what's wrong? And they begin to tell him, hey, hit a button. Some lights are flashing. People came out of where I didn't know people were. They came, I mean, just everywhere. Threw me down. They didn't ask my name. They didn't ask if I had insurance. Threw me down in this chair, took me out. Now, when that happens, you know, this is bigger than you thought, right? This is, I'm serious. They stuck IVs in my arm. And here was the problem that we found out later, that chlorine's of such nature that if you get a lot of it in your system like I had at that moment, your heart can stop at any moment. Yeah, now you're more concerned about me. You've been laughing this whole story. Now you're concerned. I get it. I see how you are. Where's the love? And I had to stay 24 hours because I had got hit with so much chlorine that my blood was attaching itself to the chlorine molecules and rejecting the oxygen molecules in my blood. And so they had to spend 24 hours where I had a little mask on with very strong or dense, for lack of a better word, oxygen flowing into my system. And they said, it's like this level. Oxygen's down here, chlorine's down here. But once we get that oxygen level, get more and more, once it crosses over the chlorine level, all of a sudden your blood will go back to where it's supposed to go and start rejecting the chlorine and attaching itself to the oxygen. See, what we're trying to do is, it's like, I don't know, I don't see this, I don't believe this. That's okay, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. Maybe you've been so filled up with the stuff, the world, and you got little word in you. But if we keep getting the word in you, eventually, it's not a game. It's the coolest thing. You might be overwhelmed, stressed out. You keep getting the word in you. And once it crosses over, you're going to know it crossed over. Because on the inside, that spirit person will be like, whoa, wait a minute, it's strength. Comes, boldness comes, peace comes, and you know you've crossed over. Try it. Don't take my word for it. Try it. It's the coolest thing. I mean, you can feel so unspiritual. There's days you don't even feel saved. You just start, get the word. Watch it. It's cross. It takes time. How long does it take? It all depends. Different everybody, different, and same person, different times. But it crosses over. Jude verse 3 says it this way. Look at the screen. It says to contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. Some people believe that it means to fight other people with arguments. I believe it means this. Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You have to go after this, my friend. You can't sit in the lukewarm, passive seat and say, Lord, just drop it on me what you want. You have to be so hungry. The Bible, James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You gotta go after this thing. You gotta contend for the faith. Faith comes by hearing the word. You gotta contend with it, because everything and everyone, even yourself, will tell you, don't do it. That's enough. You read one chapter. That should be good enough. You don't even know what the one chapter said. You just skimmed it. And you remember more on that last movie you watched, 3 hours, and you sat in the theater, and you're like, oh, I got to get there early. I want to see all the previews. Praise God. But you'll spend 4 hours in that theater sipping on Coke or Diet Coke, God bless you. And there's nothing wrong with watching movies, but don't tell me you don't have time if you can spend 4 hours in a theater and know 2 minutes in the Bible. I just don't know why I'm not getting my miracle. I know why. It's not rocket science. You got to contend for the faith. You got to go after it. Something I've been trying to communicate for the last few weeks, and we've been held off. Today, I want to announce something we are doing. Put it in your calendar. This is, to me, so important. In July 31st, I'm bringing a guest speaker. We've had him before, but I'm asking him to stay. July 31st, Sunday morning. We have not done this in a long time. I don't think I've ever done this like this. July 31st, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. Now let me just be, I'm a realist. Let me be. The first thing that's going to cross into your mind, which happens in my mind and everybody's mind, is that's a lot of nights. I don't know if I got time for that. And let me be honest with you. I'm not asking you to do this every week. We can't live at that level every week on a natural thing. You got to pay bills, you got to deal with family, you got to live life, right? But you will see, even in the ministry of Jesus, seasons of his life, that he would get away and saturate.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
If Jesus does, why not us also?
Yes, come on.
And when we had this schedule, I even told my staff, I got to have a name. I got to have a title. I have to name this. They're like, all right, give us something. I'm like, I don't have anything. I'm looking for the mind of God. And the Lord dropped a word on my heart. And I said to the staff in a staff meeting, what do you all think about this word? And then I happened to go online and search it out. It's amazing how God will give you a word. And I just thought it was a soda or something. I didn't really know much about it. But get your phone out. Get your phone out. Come on, I'm telling you, get your phone out. How many pastors tell you, get your phone out? See, we don't do it like everybody else. I'm going to tell you, get online. Go to Google. Google. They should pay me money for this. Probably not. All right. And type in this word, surge. S-U-R-G-E. Okay. And when you pull that up, it has a noun and a verb. What's it say? That's it. Let's all do it together. That's real good. Yeah. Right. Let's read the first one together. Ready? For those who don't have a phone. Ready? A sudden, powerful, forward or upward movement, especially by a crowd or a natural force. Look, hang on. It gets better. Let's go to the verb. Ready? Of a crowd or a natural force. And here it is. Move suddenly and powerfully forward or upward. We are going to dedicate as a church this week to have that many services. And if you've been around, you know me. I don't believe in just having church to have church. Sometimes some churches need to have less church. They're just overwhelmed. They're not even getting anything out of it. They're just going through the motions. I'm not into going through the motions. That's why I'm like, all right, God, what's the assignment? What's the purpose? I believe with all my heart that if we come and commit, I'm going to take a week. It's going to be hard, because everything, I'm telling you, everybody's going to call you that they've been ignoring you for the last 4 weekends, and they're going to call you, hey, let's get together. I've missed you. And it's going to be that week. Your favorite TV show that you've been watching that hasn't started is going to start probably that week. Relatives will show up. Oh, we just thought we'd come and visit you that week. You're going to be tired. Curse that in the name of Jesus. That week. Your boss is going to ask you to work overtime. That week. You'll see all this crazy stuff happening in opposition. But you have to be willing to contend for the faith. I believe with all my heart there's going to be people who come and they're going to saturate in the presence of God and the Word of God. We're going to have Jonathan Shuttlesworth come. He's an amazing Bible speaker. Having some, I mean, he just has amazing meetings. He just doesn't minister youth, he ministers adults. He had one where a guy had his spine, had a bar in it, got healed. Just a couple weeks ago, just about a month ago, he had a young lady who had been a cutter. If you don't know what that is, that's okay. For over a year, and got healed and went back, and on her hip where she cut, she didn't even have scars. Delivered by the power of God. We're going to spend a week in the presence of God, in the Word of God, with the idea of we are going to contend, which means our flesh will say, no, but our spirit man's going to say, yeah. Because I don't know about you, we all, individually and corporately, have places to go, things to do, but we also have things that God wants us to do. We have places God wants us to go. We have things that God wants us to receive. And if you've ever hit that ceiling and think, God, is there more? There is, and you got to learn to contend for the faith to get the revelation of your next step so that you can have more, do more, and be more in the name of Jesus. Amen? It's not, God, will you give it? I'm waiting for you to do it. He has already prepared a table, even in the midst of opposition. Are you ready to go for it? That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. Amen.